rest of the story. Once upon a time, and this was 3 centuries before the birth of Christ, there lived a Greek philosopher who preached self-denial. His father, a schoolteacher, his mother, a magician, recognized their son's fine mind when he was yet quite young. A genius, many considered him. Age 12, he was told by an instructor, in the beginning of things, chaos was created. When the boy questioned who had created the chaos, the professor confessed that only philosophers knew the answer. And from that day, the youngster was determined to be educated only by philosophers and to become one himself someday. Well, he did. Still a young man, he founded his own school in Athens, even purchased a large garden for the equivalent of about what would be $1,500 now in which to teach philosophy. Pupils came from far and wide, whole cities full, according to Diogenes Laertius, students of philosophy, many of whom had abandoned other schools for the privilege of learning from this one great master. For many years, the renowned philosopher and his followers lived in their Athenian garden in perfect harmony. They shunned absolute communal living, that is, pooling their property, insisting such a practice implied distrust. The glorious friendship enjoyed by professor and pupils was even exalted by the immortal Cicero. And what did the master teach? Well, he taught moderation in all things, self-denial as a means of avoiding pain in life. He preached celibacy, declaring sexual intercourse did more harm than good. He encouraged a strict diet, just bread and water, hardly anything else. Even cheese was a luxury, he said. He ate only a little, and only on the most important feast days. Wealth and fame were futile, he claimed. To be truly happy, one must live frugally, quietly abstaining from as much as possible at all times. Now, for some reason forever forgotten, one of the master's pupils, a fellow named Timocrates, became disenchanted with his mentor, and he left that lovely school garden which he had called home. We don't yet know, and may never, the cause of his resentment, but the proportions of his resentment are historic, because young Timocrates set out on a real hate campaign, a mission of outright lies, through which his former professor might be discredited, and I mean terrible lies. He said the garden school was merely a haven for prostitution. He said the master himself was so gluttonous that he ate so much that he had to vomit twice a day to keep from killing himself. Horrific accusations, which the great philosopher responded to with silence. He just kept living his life moderately, as always. He kept teaching his philosophy of happiness through self-denial. But what does history remember? History remembers the lies. The lies are more interesting than the truth. The public was titillated by a mental picture of a garden of sensual and gastronomical pleasures, too titillating to be forgotten. So the famous philosopher became even more famous, even after his death, but eternally associated with excess. One of the most incredible misrepresentations ever documented. This was a man who lived on bread and water and is remembered as a glutton. Ever since, the philosopher Epicurus and his garden school, which he called the Epicurean, have been synonymous with overindulgence. But anyway, you know the rest of the story.